And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Now watch this. This goes right back to Isaiah. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them.
There's another parable. I mean, there's another scripture that goes along with that. I believe they need to be read together, actually. Because it says it over in Matthew, you talk about the same thing.
Read it.
It says this right here. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. So Jesus is actually telling everybody what was actually hid all this time before Adam and Eve was even made.
Yeah. And he'll do that for people who love him.
Exactly.
People who are humble. People that will receive the light and reject the darkness. People that love the preeminence and pride of this life, they will use the word to get gain. They will use the word. They will handle a holy thing in an unholy way. And the Holy Spirit withdraws from people that will do that. When I first saw that, I said, "Wait a minute! The Lord wants to save everybody," which ultimately He does. But it's kind of like a man getting married or a woman about to get married. The man finds out that this woman will cheat on him. And she's not sincere in her heart. He wanted to marry her, but he realized that it's just not in her to do right. So now he don't want to marry because of that condition. She changed the facts because she loves other, she likes other men. She lusts after other men. And he can't trust her. So now he don't want to marry. Otherwise, he would want to marry. But now he know he can't trust her. So the same thing with the woman. She find out the man will steal, kill, and destroy. So now he's an abuser. If he wasn't like that, she'd want to marry. Now she don't want to marry. Because she's gotten wisdom. It's the same thing. And the Lord's word will bring things to light. But if they love death, then it's written this way, and it's done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And what would happen is they'll make a bigger mess than already is. If the Pharisees had, if they knew the things that Jesus was teaching his people, they would have used their knowledge as a weapon against innocent people. And they would have excluded the Gentiles. They would have changed the doctrine to their favor to get money out of the people or to get pride and prestige out of the people, just like false prophets do now. False prophets weaken the people. They use fear tactics, and they're good at it. Their heart is hard. They handle holy things in an unholy way. They are dangerous folk. They are wolves. Yeah. They're not just tares. They are wolves. And they produce tares. They won't listen.
I read a wonderful article that says that humans are the only mammals who will not run from a predator. You know, if a rabbit sees a fox, he'll run to his hole. But sometimes people embrace people who are predators.
It's just like Jesus said. They won't listen to the Lord. They'll listen to the devil. If Jesus would have came like the devil, they would have listened to him. If the devil would have came, they would have worshipped him. Because they were of the devil, he said, "Search the scriptures." Now watch verse 13. The Lord is after sincerity. He told me that. When he said that to me, a lot of things made sense. He said, I'm after sincerity. Verse 13, he said, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" See, this is the parable of parables. If you understand this parable, you can get the rest real easy. He said, "The sower soweth the word of God. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away takes away the word that was sown in their hearts because they don't value it. They love this world. Some people love the world. You tell them the word of God, they get mad at you because they don't want to know. They don't want their sins revealed. They like their sins. They like their condition. And they will avoid you. Now, we pray for people all the time. And when we're approaching, they get upset. The Lord see the whole thing. He see the attitudes of people. He see what they're doing. They put on a happy mask to deal with us for a while. Then they leave. they're not going to be rude. But if they don't like the word, you start talking about the word, people will get out of dodge. They got something to do.
Cockroaches always run from the mouth.
Have you ever heard Russ Dizdar's testimony, how he got saved?
Uh-uh.
Russ Dizdar, I believe he's a prophet, okay?
Yeah.
He, 1967 or 68, he was in college. And he was at a big party where they were drinking and just doing it all, okay? And this one guy had gotten saved a week before and filled with the power of God, okay? And he was a radical. He was on all kinds of different drugs, and he got set free completely. He came in. As soon as he walked through the door, he said, everybody scattered like cockroaches. He said he even ran. He ran, and he said it couldn't go out the front door. He said because he was standing there, people were jumping out windows and everything. And he said, I ran out the back balcony and everything, man, and I couldn't jump because, you know, you were two or three stories up. And he said he just, you know, tried to make it look like he wasn't there. And he came out there and preached to him. And that night, he went home, and he was living in the basement of his mom and dad's house, like Steve Quill. And got mad because God wouldn't leave him alone. And then he repented and gave his life to the Lord. And his life has been
He's good.
Dealing with demonic possessions and everything. You know, because God's got everybody set in a certain spot. And I think at the end of the day, just my personal thoughts, that now it's time for us all to come together.
Yep. And by the Holy Spirit, we do. Because our works intermingle with other
works.
That's
exactly correct.
When there's a lot of, you just said a mouthful, that the Lord can see what a person's capable of. And he can break those barriers down and get to that good heart.
Amen.
People out there doing crazy things and their heart is salvaged.
Fire of the Holy Ghost, man.
Yes.
And when the Lord wake me up and show me who to pray for, what to pray for, and what to say to people, that goes on. I'm going to do that first. That's what I do first. They will hear. You know, they will live. There are people that I always bring up before the Lord, but there's nothing. But there are people that he'll have me praying for. They want it. And you pray for you. He may show you their strength or weakness or whatever you need to pray for. He'll give you what to pray for. They'll be like Russ Dizdar. They'll listen. Whenever the Lord do that, or you're involved in helping somebody, be all about it. Get it done. Don't listen to the enemy. Win the war. Do what you got to do and get the job. Do whatever it is God put on your heart.
Amen.
Because that can, you know, that can make the difference. That man was a blessing.
Yeah.
Many people got blessed by him.
He thought that he was a curse to him at first. Because he said, I was sitting out there on the balcony holding a beer while he was preaching to me. And I wanted to be like a snake and run off.
Yeah.
He said, but I couldn't go nowhere.
Another thing, the demons on people are afraid of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When you walk up, it's like they stop talking. It's amazing. When I lived in the Woodlawn area, and I walk up because somebody might block my gate. I just gonna ask somebody to move their car. They started getting nervous, and then they later on, I told y'all not to block his gate. Go move that car. And one time I left my door open. I was in such a hurry. I had my air compressor running. I forgot to turn my radio off. All my tools are there, and I'm gone for hours. Nobody went in that garage. She wouldn't let nobody go in that garage. And I came back late, and the Dixie Gospel caravan was playing.
And you know, even the demons that follow Satan into hell don't want to be there, because when Christ confronted the demoniac, mm-hmm. they asked, "Can we go into the pigs?" Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't want to be there.
They don't want to be there.
Definitely, we don't want anyone going there. Because hell is not made for us, for people. So, yes, anyone the Lord sends you to, go after them.
That's right. And they might be the one that went get many saved. Yes. You know, they may be another Henry Gruber, which I'm sorry to say, he went on to be with the Lord. I found out yesterday. Did you know that Henry Gruber passed?
No.
Who?
He did. Henry Gruber.
Wow. Yeah. When? The Lord is gathering his generals.
October the 11th.
Wow.
Ed Dufresne, Kenneth E. Hagin.
Ed Dufresne passed? Ed Dufresne passed?
He died in a plane crash 3 or 4 years ago.
Who?
Ed Dufresne.
Didn't know that
I didn't know
Kenneth
that.
E. Hagin, Charles Capps, he's gathering. Yeah. If you're getting ready to go to war, you gather your generals.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. That makes sense. But I was listening to the Hagman report, and Steve Quayle was on there.
He mentioned that.
I didn't either. I'm like, no.
You know, I was going to listen to that broadcast, but I listened to something else, and I can't remember what it was. Mm-hmm.
What happened to you?
I don't know.
Probably wasn't in sleep or something, man. Yeah. This man was, he was a prophet. There was no doubt.
Yes. I believe he was an apostle.
Yeah, an apostle.
Because he...
there was no doubt. The guy, if you ever listen to this man, he will blow you away.
I love him. I still listen to him.
The anointing was so absolute on this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love to listen to him. Him and Steve Quill, too. I love these guys. And it can't, you know, I started listening to the YouTube videos. I had a vision about the rapture when I first got saved in 83. I had this vision in 84. And I asked the Lord what the rapture be like. He showed me a vision immediately. I was at the grocery store sacking groceries back then. And I saw a lady pushing a basket in a red dress. And I heard the horn and she disappeared, red dress and all. And about 5 people out of 30 in the grocery store disappeared with her. So I knew what the rapture would be like. So I started listening to rapture visions after the Lord told me that his return was imminent. This was in 2017. And then I watched Henry Gruber's vision on the Milky Way. Everybody need to watch that. It will bless you.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. And Steve Quayle was interviewing.
Oh,
the Milky
Way.
Yeah.
And also his interview too, on where the Lord had translated him and his team to, where was it?
Yeah, Rome.
Yeah, Rome.
But thank you. Rome.
Yeah, but I listened to that too. Really freak you out.
Yeah. The Lord transported him and 6 other guys.
Yeah, 6.
From different parts of the world at the same time. Yeah. And then he rebuked the 2 fallen angels.
1984.
Yeah, in 84?
Yep. 1984, he rebuked, there was 2 angels that were there.
No, that was 88.
In Rome.
88.
88.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, you're right. They were there, and what they were doing was they were keeping the gospel from spreading. Okay?
But they were holding back.
Locking it up.
They were hindering the apostolic anointing.
All of it, yes, sir. And he rebuked them. He said when he did, he said these massive, great, big, giant chains came down and just started wrapping them up all the way. You couldn't even see their face or nothing.
They still there.
Bound their wings up and everything. And he said they were massive beings. Uh-huh. You know, just massive, you know, probably 50 feet tall.
Now, yeah. And they were very
tall. Angels are massive.
And he also knew that that's where Paul was beheaded.
Yeah, that's right.
In that chamber. That's
now,
where Paul was beheaded.
The year that the Lord first dealt with me about being an apostle was around that time. And he gave me a dream. He said, I want you to... He didn't tell me what I was yet. He said, I want you to work in the office. He gave me a dream. You know, that had to be around 89. And he's right. He started...
Revival broke out right after that.
Yeah.
Big time revival, too.
Mm-hmm. Those were good years.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from the Lord in those years. Now, his return is imminent. The thing that the defining, what defines us is how we receive and operate in the Word of God. The virgins, there are four reasons, there are four ways, four types of hearts that handle the Word of God. Therefore, the wayside, the seed that's sown on stony ground, some among thorns, and then the good ground. And the five wise virgins, they received the Word of God. They kept oil in their lamp. They kept the Word in their heart. And they rejected the darkness. And they were waiting and watching for the bridegroom to come. The five foolish virgins let the oil burn out. And they didn't handle the holy things in a holy way. Their mind was on other things. And then the bridegroom came. And then they ended up being cast into outer darkness. They attached themselves back to the world. People can get saved and love God and work. Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. But I turn and say, I never knew you. Then they're going to say, well, we preached in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We worked miracles in your name. And he'll say, get away from me. You work iniquity. They got involved. They didn't drive out the love of the world and keep the holy oil, the Word of God. And these are the reasons why. Wayside, stony ground, thorns, those three reasons, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, pride of life. When people, the seed that was sown among thorns, the cares of this world and the lust of other things entering in, it chokes the word. It's at war with the life of God's word. But when we receive the word of God, Jesus said that the children of darkness, they're more skilled at operating their system than we are in ours. We have to learn how our kingdom works. We have to receive the life of God's word, the love of God. And that becomes the standard. And you'll see things for what it is. And then the dark things, you drive it out. You say, hey, from Charles Capps, I learned this. If you can say it, you can do it. I speak the life of God's word in my life. And everything that's wrong, everything that's negative, I say I hate it. I don't tolerate it. I say I hate it.
Not like that.
Everything that ain't right, especially pride.
Yeah, buddy.
I never had a weakness towards pride, but when I saw that was the sin that God hates, I started saying, I hate it. Because he hates pride. He resists it. He rejects it. And I don't want to be something that God has to reject.
Don't forget the abomination. The last one, that was the abomination of sowing discord amongst the brothers.
Oh, man, amen. I hate that.
Come on now.
Yeah.
And it is a big thing.
Mm-hmm. He used the word abomination for Satan being seated on the mount. So if you think about those two things, they're equal. Mm-hmm. Two things that he used the words abomination for.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to read this.
Could you put the sign back up?
Yeah. I'm going to read this last part and close with it. He said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. This is representing the rapture and how people handle holy things. How we handle the Word of God. We got to close. Deborah sent me something, a text. what I was saying about knowledge, how knowledge is at war with knowledge. In this book, read it in this book. It is, I was going to read it, but we're out of time. But Colossians 2, verse, what is it, 20?
We have time.
Well, we, well, this will show how that not how it works. He said, this is verse 20. For you were included in the death of Christ. For you were included in the death of Christ and have died with him. To the religious system and the powers of this world, don't retreat back to being bullied by the standards and opinions of religion. For example, there are strict requirements. You can't associate with that person, or don't eat that, or you can't touch that. These are the doctrines of men and corrupt customs that are worthless to help you spiritually. For though they may appear to possess of the promise and wisdom in their submission to God through the deprivation of their physical bodies, is actually nothing more than empty rules rooted in religious rituals. The wisdom, the knowledge of Satan is at war with the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of God is at war with the knowledge of Satan, which is deception and rebellion. This, we're out of time. The Lord is about to return. Be filled with the word of God, the love of God, and do whatever he put on your heart. The greatest work is the last hour. And I believe not just the last hour, but the last few moments, and literally the last hour. Because the Lord can do a lot with a little. All right, we out of time. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you will mightily move in and throughout our lives. Help us to go forward, doing all that's in your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mary would have been doing like that.